Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. This week, we'll be talking about how the JAWS screen reader can be used to access mathematical expressions on the web and in electronic documents. The ability to read mathematical expressions is important in learning math and also important to professionals and scientists in the field.
We'll talk with Rob Gallo, a software developer at Freedom Scientific, responsible for implementing support for MathML in the JAWS screen reader. We'll also hear a demonstration of JAWS reading some MathML examples. And towards the end of the show, we'll get some of Rob's thoughts on working from home. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Rob Gallo.
We are very excited about MathML support, and we are really looking forward to hearing about how people use it and how people interact with it and JAWS. And I really hope this is something that will benefit students. This is the best part of my job, which is making something accessible to people that may never have been accessible before. That's where the fun is at being a JAWS developer. You know, MathML to me was a really great opportunity to give students the kinds of access that I wanted when I was learning math.
This is a particularly great tool and function because, you know, math can be tricky for a visually impaired person. On the other hand, science and computers are great jobs for the visually impaired. So to be able to give them the tools to be able to do those things a little bit easier is really great.
You're absolutely right. You know, I know you guys are physicists, and I've seen some equations that are pretty complex that JAWS is reading in a way that I think if I were in a class and I saw the equation and had the ability to, you know, have an instructor there, I really feel like, oh, I could get this. I could really get this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the cool thing. That's what I want people to be able to feel like.
And if you keep listening, you'll find out just how easy they made it to access even complex mathematical expressions.
Well, that wasn't our usual breaker tune. That was a tune called Gravity from Rob Gallo. So let's start by meeting Rob and learning about Freedom Scientific.
My name is Rob Gallo, and I am a software developer with Freedom Scientific.
And can you tell us a little bit about Freedom Scientific, just in case anybody listening doesn't know?
Freedom Scientific is a leader in software and hardware products for the visually impaired. We make JAWS for Windows, Magic magnification software, OpenBook, which is an OCR program, optical character recognition for reading printed materials. We make braille displays, and we make video magnifiers as well. So we make lots of different hardware and software for the visually impaired.
Now, your customers and our listeners, almost all of them, have visual impairments. Do you?
Yes, I do. I am a JAWS user, and I have been since the mid-90s. I was somewhat sighted. I have RP, so my vision has gotten worse over time. So when I was in school, I could see enough to read some large print. And then as things progressed, my vision deteriorated until, like I said, about the mid-90s, where I needed some software like JAWS, and how thrilled I was to get it.
So now you're a software engineer for Freedom Scientific. Were you trained in software at the time?
No, I wasn't. I graduated from college with a degree in music composition. And while I was trying to decide whether or not I wanted to go to graduate school, I had a job in the interim. And it was during that period that I first got JAWS, and they wanted us to use some contact management software. And the software was pretty accessible, but it needed some tweaks to really be useful. And And that's when I started to really learn about JAWS script so that I could make the software usable for me. And, you know, I started learning it because I was so determined that I was not going to lose my job. You know, I really wanted to have a job and I wanted to be effective at it. And so I started learning JAWS script, and that was kind of my entree into programming.
So you were more or less self-taught and then learned the rest of your programming skills after that.
That's right. So I started with what was then Henner Joyce in 1999, and I started in tech support, and they had a job opening for a scripter, for someone to write JAWS scripts. And I said, well, I kind of know how to do this. And so they then hired me as a scripter. And during the time when I was scripting, I was spending my off hours learning to do other languages too, like C++ and Perl and things like that. And eventually there was an opening for, you know, a developer in one of those languages. So I got that job.
Well, I've always thought that some of the best software developers are people who were self-taught, because they really have to learn the ropes by themselves, learn how to dig into the documentation, not be afraid of experimenting, and you learn pretty well that way.
I think so.
What were some of the major projects you worked on at Freedom Scientific?
I worked for a while on OpenBook, and then I was lucky enough to have a role in developing the PacMate. Then I worked on ScanTalker for the PacMate, which was a barcode scanner and reader. I worked on FS Reader after that. I think I went to JAWS, and I've been working on JAWS for several years now. And I've done some of the features like Flexible Web and JAWS Touch Support, which came out in JAWS 15, and most recently MathML.
Well, that's great to be able to work on such a variety of projects. You certainly don't get stuck in a rut that way.
No, you really do not. And that is one of the really good things about being a developer on something like JAWS, is that you really do get to work on a wide variety of features and a wide variety of other applications. So,
you are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is Freedom Scientific's capability to have JAWS work with MathML.
We'd like to focus on the JAWS support for MathML today, but maybe you can start by telling our listeners what MathML actually is.
MathML is a markup language for displaying math. And what that basically means is that it's a way for an author to tell an application, such as a browser, that I want this content to look like math. So by way of example, text, of course, is aligned horizontally on a page, but certain math constructs, like fractions, for example, are aligned vertically. So a page author needs to have a way to tell the browser, I want this content to look like a fraction. I want to have the numerator over a horizontal bar, and I want that to be over the denominator. And that's basically all MathML is just a way for the author to specify, this is a fraction, or this is a square root. You know, give it this form and make it look like math.
And if a web page or document is designed without MathML, that can be very difficult to understand and read with a screen reader, because you don't have any idea of the location of items on the screen relative to each other.
Absolutely.
Where is MathML used?
Recently, MathML has taken off as the language for doing projects like digital textbooks and things like online standardized testing. And the EPUB format, for example, has adopted MathML, and Word supports MathML as well. So I think there's been some adoption of the MathML standard in the past few years that have made it the math language of choice.
So I would guess we can find MathML on web pages and HTML documents and the like.
Yes, and in fact, MathML is now part of the HTML5 W3C recommendation. there is a project called MathJax. And MathJax is a JavaScript library that displays the math content in the various browsers. So some browsers have native MathML support, like Firefox, for example, and some browsers don't, like Internet Explorer. But if a developer uses MathJax, they can guarantee that their content is going to look the same on those browsers and have an application like Internet Explorer display MathML just as well as an application like Firefox. And so one of the important things to know about how JAWS supports MathML is that we support content that is developed using MathJax. And at the moment, we do this for Internet Explorer, although hopefully also for other browsers as well to come.
So MathJax is a tool that the content developer is using. It's not a special plugin for any of these browsers.
No. That's right. It's a library that a page author uses to display their math content.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that an end user like a JAWS user would need to install or anything like that.
How would somebody get started learning how to write MathML?
There is a pretty good tutorial on developing math content using MathML and MathJax, and it is called Rye MathML Tutorial, and Rye is R-Y apostrophe S. If you Google that, you will find a good tutorial on how to write MathML content that uses MathJax to display the math, and if you were to do that, you would be able to read the resulting output in a web browser with JAWS.
And we'll save you the trouble of Googling it by including a direct link in the show notes to this show. So the reason we're interviewing you in particular as somebody from Freedom Scientific who enabled JAWS to work with MathML is because many of our listeners are JAWS users. What specific do they need to do in order to use JAWS with MathML, or is this just totally seamless?
Yes, it's a seamless experience. It's built right into JAWS. There's nothing a JAWS user needs to do out of the ordinary to use it. When you encounter MathML on a web page, JAWS will let you know that it's math, and you can then begin to explore the math with a math viewer if you want to.
So most of our listeners who are interested in math and science at all probably know this. Asking a human to read an equation can come up with all sorts of different results, some of which make sense and some of which don't. It's not easy to read an equation and have it come out unambiguous to the listener. So something easy like A plus B quantity squared is fine, but what do you do when you run into nested parentheses or complicated structures?
Well, I think we knew that, you know, extensive equations would probably be pretty difficult to take in with one listen, which is why we made it possible to investigate the math piece by piece so that the user can move through the equation and hear the parts individually and get a feel for how the equation is structured.
So does it actually allow you to move through levels of the equation?
Yes, it does.
So not just right to left or left to right, but actually say, show me the innermost parentheses and then the next level and then the next level.
Exactly. Exactly. It allows you to move to whatever level of the equation you want to move to and understand it at that level.
Oh, that's great. So I wonder if we can get a demonstration of this to hear how it actually works in practice.
Okay, sounds good.
MathML examples. Blank.
Here we are. So I'm on the Freedom Scientific Math demo page.
MathML examples.
And I'm just going to arrow down to the first heading.
Heading level 2, area of a circle.
So the following expression represents the area of a circle, obviously.
Blank. Pi r squared math content.
So when you hear math content after pi r squared, that tells you that this is math. This is MathML. You could hear JAWS read when I arrowed to it. Obviously, this is the area of a circle, and pretty simple. You can take this in one byte pretty easily. But I'm going to go ahead just to show you. I'm going to press Enter.
MathViewer equation navigation, pi r squared.
So JAWS now says MathViewer equation navigation, pi r squared.
Pi r squared.
And I just did a saline there to read the equation. And if I do a say word, for example,
pi,
JAWS says pi, which is the first part of the equation. So if I arrow to the right,
r squared,
JAWS says r squared. JAWS is treating r squared like a single unit in the equation, but I can press the down arrow,
r,
and now I'm on the r by itself. And then if I move to the right,
2 exponent.
So you can hear there that JAWS is identifying the 2 as the exponent of r squared. So if you need to check out in more detail what something is, you can use the down arrow key to move down into it and read a sub-equation's component parts. And if I arrow back up,
r squared,
you can hear r squared again, and I can move back and forth between
pi, r squared,
and r squared.
So here the up and down keys are more or less navigating you up and down a level. So if you hit the down, you'll go down to the next subgroup and up to the bigger group that you're contained within.
That's exactly right.
And then you're using the left and right arrows to navigate from and to expressions that are at the same logical level?
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted, when we were thinking about the design, to just make this as easy as possible so that it's not a lot of keystrokes to remember and that it's, you know, as intuitive as it could be. And so moving through an equation is just using the arrow keys. You can move to parts of the equation at the same logical level using the left and right arrow keys, and you can sort of drill down into the equation by using the down arrow and go back up to higher levels with the up arrow key. And with just those four keys, you can explore an entire equation from the highest level to the lowest level.
Now, you got into this special mode by hitting enter on the expression.
That's correct.
How do you get out of the mode?
You just hit escape. So I'm going to do that now.
MathML examples dash Windows Internet Explorer math content.
And so now I'm back in the browser, and I should still be on
pi r squared math content.
There we go, pi r squared.
Your example included the Greek symbol pi. How well does JAWS handle other special symbols?
For JAWS 16 with MathML, we added every possible mathematical symbol that we could find so that JAWS would speak all of these math symbols.
Now that we went through this simple example of pi r squared, can you show how this works on a more complex expression where you have some sub-expressions and different groupings?
Yes, I can. So blank. I'm going to move down and read this.
2x times negative 1 16th plus negative 5 squared equals 24 and 15 16ths math content.
That's not one you easily get in one listen.
No, it is not. This is definitely one that you might have to go into the math viewer to read in greater detail to fully comprehend what's going on. So I'm going to go ahead and press enter to do that.
2x times negative 1 16th plus negative 5 squared equals 24 and 15 16ths.
So that was, as I'm reading this, I'm just doing a say line in JAWS, the insert up arrow. So it's one of the most common JAWS keystrokes. So now I'm going to do a say word.
2x.
So here we have, obviously, 2x, and then I'm going to arrow to the right.
Times negative 1 16th.
So JAWS has sort of grouped this together, negative 1 16th, but I'm going to go press the down arrow to go in and explore this a little further.
Minus 1 16th.
So obviously we have the minus sign, and now we're in a fraction that says 1 16th, and I can actually drill down into the fraction.
1, numerator.
And then that was a down arrow, and then this is a right arrow.
16, denominator.
So JAWS is actually telling me what the numerator and what the denominator are, and it's identifying the subparts of the equation. But of course you'll notice that when I arrow back up,
1/16th.
JAWS says 1/16th. And this was really important to us, that a fraction like 1/16th be spoken as 1/16th rather than 1/16. Because when a teacher is speaking this in a classroom, a teacher would say 1/16th. And we wanted the descriptions of the math equations to be as close to spoken language as we could get it. I'm going to move up again.
-116.
So now I'm back at the top level, and I can tell that if I try up arrowing again.
No higher levels for the current expression.
And so if I press the right arrow, I'm going to move through further into the expression.
Plus -5 squared.
So we already saw an example of an exponent in the pi r squared example. So I'm going to move on.
Equals 24 and 15 sixteenths.
So this is an example of a mixed number, which, again, we've tried to have JAWS speak it as close to what a human would say as possible. So
24 and 15 sixteenths.
So it says 24 and 15 sixteenths. And so I can drill down into this, of course, as well. So
24.
If I press a down arrow, I hear 24.
Invisible addition.
Now I hear this symbol called invisible addition, which is part of MathML, and it tells a browser, or in this case JAWS, that the 24 and the 15 sixteenths that follow it are part of a mixed number. These two things are linked.
15 sixteenths.
And so here again we come to 15 sixteenths, which is of course another fraction which we could drill down into.
Well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty simple to use.
That was the goal. We really felt like this should be as simple as possible. You shouldn't have to learn a lot. You shouldn't have to be, you know, a computer expert or anything to just read a math expression. And we hope that students will find this a really usable way to read math and to comprehend math. Because, you know, often in math, as you know, it's important to understand the lower levels of an equation, the subparts of an equation, and then build on your understanding in order to comprehend the entire equation. And so that was kind of the idea behind the way that this is designed.
Where do you find help when you need it?
In the browser, all you have to remember is to press enter on math content to bring up the math viewer. Once you're in the math viewer, you can use the JAWS hotkey, insert plus H, to bring up help that will tell you all the keystrokes that you can use to navigate through the math. It will even give you context-specific help, because while the equations that we looked at here were straightforward equations, and JAWS said equation navigation, there are other types of navigation too. For example, there is table navigation, because MathML has the facility to display tables also. The arrow keys do slightly different things when you're in a table.
And for anybody who doesn't already know, can you give Freedom Scientific's website?
Yes, it is www.freedomscientific.com.
And if you prefer to reach them by telephone, that's 800-444-4443. So we've been talking about all of the current capabilities that JAWS has for reading MathML. Well, of course, they're planning on improving this with time. And according to the Freedom Scientific website, this is a beginning, and Freedom Scientific will expand on it as time goes on for sure. Current limitations are that JAWS support is in the Internet Explorer browser only at this time, but they're planning future updates to support other browsers. Higher math support only at this time. This is tied to MathJax support, and future updates are planned. The JAWS math viewer is not yet populated with text visually, but that's also planned in a future update. And currently there is speech output only with no Braille support yet, but that is also planned in a future update. And the target is to have synchronous Braille support on a refreshable Braille display at the same time as the description of a math problem is spoken.
So stay tuned for future updates. And if you look in our show notes at www.eyesonsuccess.net, we'll have links to more information about MathML, the sample page on the Freedom Scientific website where you can try it for yourself if you have JAWS 16 or later, and more information.
Also not our regular breaker tune. That was Bass Groove 1 from Rob Gallo. Now for this week's final item, we spoke with Rab at his home office in Atlanta, Georgia, which is about 500 miles from the Freedom Scientific headquarters in St. Petersburg, Florida.
We did several shows recently on Eyes on Success focusing on visually impaired people working from home. And I understand you work remotely also, or telecommute. Can you describe what that's like and how that's worked out for you?
For me, I think it's worked out very well. You know, it's interesting when I hear people talking about working remotely versus working in an office, they often say, oh, it's so great. You get to work in your pajamas and, you know, all of those kinds of things. And I mean, yes, while you may work in your pajamas, you know, for me, it is very much just like working in the office. Like, it feels the same to me. You know, I have a rough time in the morning when I start, a rough time in the evening when I end. I still have meetings quite often. I'm sitting there and programming for a lot of the day, or writing documents or those kinds of things. And so to me, it just feels very much like working in an office. And of course, over Skype, you know, I still stay in touch with most of the developers, you know, on the team. So I don't feel isolated. I don't feel left out. We're all part of the team.
So we used to have jobs as research physicists, and we both did primarily computer work. But if we ever wanted to get up in the middle of the day and go for a cup of coffee, it was a noticeable walk down the hall to get a cup of coffee. Now, you're in your own home. I don't know how big it is, but it's probably a lot smaller than an office building.
Oh, yeah.
So do you feel that you wind up totally scrunched up all day, or do you manage to loosen up your bones somehow?
One of the great things about it is that while I'm on the phone, I can stand up, stroll around. And since I'm on the phone all day, or at least a good portion of the day, I do get to stretch a little bit, do get to do a little yoga, you know, because that's always embarrassing when you're in the office and you're trying downward facing dog in the office and your boss walks in, and that's just no good. That's just a recipe for disaster.
And if you check out our show notes, we'll have links to a pair of shows that we recently did about working from home or telecommuting.
That's it for show number 1511. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about preparing in advance for vision loss. What do you do now if you've been told by your eye care professional that you're very likely to lose what vision you have in the next few years? What can you do to prepare? And we will be exploring those issues and suggesting some good ideas that might be helpful when your vision does fail. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com at Eyes on Success, or Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.